Oh, hello. Greetings, Reclaimers. I am 343 Guilty Spark, monitor of Podcast Evolved. Protocol dictates that you must listen. Come, we have a wealth of knowledge to share with you, and you don't want to make my blue eye red. Do you, Reclaimers?
Welcome, Spartans, to Podcast Evolved, your home for Halo. I'm your host, Aaron, and with me this week we've got Krista.
Hello.
We've got Oren.
What's up, everyone?
And we have a very, very special returning longtime OG guest. He is one of the... will we call him an original founder?
Yes, he's a founder.
We've got Nate Bacon here with us.
Halo.
Halo.
Halo. What's up, Nate?
What's up?
Long time no talk. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's been pretty nuts.
It has been a very long time no talk. If you go back to the depths of the website and find the original episodes that no longer load on the podcast feed, you can find Nate. That's how long we've been doing this podcast now, that we fill a feed and it keeps going. Although, quite a few people in the Discord remember Nate, so we're not doing too badly. We've had a few people say.
Yeah, I probably used analog phones back then to record it, yep.
Yeah.
Just about.
The good old days, we all strapped USB sticks to pigeons and we flew the audio away to be edited. It was fantastic.
That's right.
Right, I will get over the social stuff before we go any further. If you're with us today, you are either listening to the audio or you're joining us live in Discord. Hi, Discord.
Hi, Discord.
Thanks
for
being here.
Discord talking about? Discord's spamming the chat with Krista emojis, so we're just going
to
set fire. Bye, Discord.
No. No! That's my face you're setting fire to.
Big live community show today. We've got news to talk about. We've got a little bit of Podcast Evolved stuff to talk about. And we've got Nate's interrogation as well. Chris is going to lead that in a little bit. Before we get there, if you have a chance, go and check out our website, halopodcast.com or halopodcastevolved.com. It's got links to all of our different shows. We've got Mission Debrief. That's a deep dive into all of the Halo campaigns, mission by mission. We are... just about a third of the way through Halo 2 or Halo Wars 2?
Yeah, just about. We're almost to the halfway mark, and then we have all of the DLC, so we're pretty much going to lead right up to Infinite. For Mission Debrief, don't be surprised if there's going to be a little bit of a lull between our coverage of Halo Wars 2 and our coverage of Infinite. It's just so that we can wait it out and make sure that all of the juicy lore information is out there so we can report it straight to your... sweet, sweet Halo Infinite virgin ears.
Yeah, and then thankfully, due to some of the news that comes up later, we are guaranteed Mission Debrief forever, basically.
What?
Yeah, I hope you like Mission Debrief.
Wait, I'm doing this forever now?
You're trapped. That show's never ending now.
That show just got a 10-year extension, and we'll talk about it.
Am I getting a raise? Anything more than zero?
we'll not worry about that right now.
Yeah, we'll maybe cover that later. We also have the Halo Book Club shows, which, quite frankly, are running out of material at the minute.
No, it's not.
343 need to publish some new books. We have a lot
of short stories to cover, Aaron. Weren't you at the meeting we had a few days ago?
Those short stories are being used in other ways, though. Weren't you at the meeting?
I was.
Oh, okay.
Final show that we have is Builds with Blocks, and that is centered around the micro action figures and brick-based construction sets of the Halo universe, and that is brought to you by Daddy Colin and Tom and Matt.
Who are not daddies.
No, but they continue to do good work. Someone has to be in charge, Krista.
It's true.
Also, if you go to patreon.com/Halo Podcast Evolved, you can support the show. We offer a variety of exclusive rewards for our patrons, like early access to episodes and swag, and possible future announcements down the line, so keep your ears peeled.
We're going to start a Patreon tier for $1 billion so we can just buy Halo.
I like the sound of that. There's about 4 people that might listen, so fingers crossed. And also, we would like to take a minute to thank all of our patrons for supporting us, because the numbers continue to go up and it amazes us every time. So thank you once again.
Yes, thank you,
yay,
everybody.
Yay, we love you. Thank you.
And we have more to talk about Patreon later in the show as well, so stay tuned.
Also, we'd like to encourage all of our listeners that want to support us in other ways. You can go and set up an Audible trial to support Podcast Evolved. Go to audibletrial.com/podcastevolved and you can sign up there, and it helps us out and we love you. Plus, audiobooks are just easier than reading.
Boo, fake books, boo. Except please sign up for the Audible trial anyway, thanks.
Sign up to the Audible trial and then don't listen to the book, because Krista said.
Yeah, but get the trial.
All right, we're going to do what we've done in the last week in Halo. Now, we're all going to go first because Nate's got about 6 years to recap here, so it'll take a minute.
Oh my gosh.
I'll cut mine real short.
I hope you kept meticulous notes all these years. You've got a lot to talk about here. A couple of game launches. I'm going to go with mine really quick because I played Delta Halo this week. That was my only actual Halo.
Well, you played an entire Halo, so that's good. Delta Halo.
I played both missions, so we worked our way through that. The only other thing I've done this week is play Grounded.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I started that the other day and just decided to have a bit of a play about, so I've built a giant grass house at the minute. I'm quite happy.
A bunch of larvae destroyed my grass house that I made with Nick, and now I don't want to play anymore.
I watched a couple of people's videos, and one guy was having his house eaten by an army of angry ants, and I was just sort of going, oh, I might want to build a house somewhere else. And then a spider ate me, so that was just that.
It's so dumb. Like, your house can die so quickly. It's like, why do I even have a house? They destroy all your shit.
My buddies and I built our house, if you want to call it. It's more like a fort on top of the baseball that spawns right by the beginning. There's like a twig that you can walk up to get on top of the baseball. And then we just built it on top, like a 3-story building on top of the baseball. And that's where we store all of our shit.
Do you know how to make flat platforms?
Like flat, like just floor?
Yeah.
You go to the oak tree. Have you got there yet?
Yes.
There's a robot under the oak tree.
Oh, does he teach you that?
He teaches you that. You've got to pay him. Yeah, you've got to pay him in like 1,000 raw science. I don't know what raw science is, but children always use protected science.
Yeah, don't.
The raw science is like your... It's like your reward for analyzing stuff. You get like 50 raw science when you analyze different materials that you find during out in the world.
And I think he gives you 3 tasks a day that give you like 100 each as well. So it doesn't take too long.
I built the scaffolding and used that to like do the foundation on top of the baseball. And then from there, we just built up.
I got the multi-story thing and just built my house in a bit of a hill, but after seeing people's houses be eaten, I'm gonna have to rethink things a bit. I was eyeing up a very nice looking garden lamp over by the oak tree and thinking I could build a house on top of that.
Oh, that would be, it'd be very bright. How are you gonna sleep at night?
It'll keep the spiders away, Krista.
The spiders are terrifying and I have arachnophobia now.
I play on arachnophobia mode. It's just too, it's too scary.
Do you play with the little like puffball spider?
There, it's like 2 sphere polygons with eyes that just float around, but they don't sound like spiders. My first playthrough, I played by myself, and I was like learning how to play and all this kind of stuff, and I was in a party chat with all my friends, and I would just be like looking around trying to understand this game, and I'd turn around and there'd just be a giant ass spider, and it just would freak the shit out of me. And everyone's like, dude, Orin, what do I have to turn this game on and play it with you right now? And I'm like, if you want to. And like literally all my friends were like, okay, I'm gonna download it and play it.
Aww, They love you.
I attacked a ladybug and found out that was a terrible mistake.
Why do the ladybugs make bear noises?
Haven't you guys seen Bug's Life?
We have, yeah. It's not as terrifying as this game.
There's something kind of menacing about it too, because I thought it would be sort of like lighthearted and fun, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And then you load it up and the intro music's kind of menacing and dark and you're like, oh no, this isn't going to be a fun adventure.
I mean, the soundtrack's really good.
The soundtrack is really good. Your kid characters complain all the time, everything, constantly.
Krista, would you not complain constantly if you were tiny and stuck in the garden?
But the kids are just like, oh man, I'm shrunk. I hate my parents. They suck. Man, I wish this piece of hot dog tasted like caviar. Damn, this sucks.
Oh, so it's like going on the internet.
Yeah, it is.
You had a piece of hot dog, Krista?
Yeah, you can get hot dog. The story of Grounded is that you're small and you're also very angsty teenagers. That's it.
Wow.
It's a fort-building survival game.
With spiders.
In the backyard, and you have to fight bugs.
Have you fought any of the farty bugs?
No.
They're scary. They fart.
But anyway.
We're now a Grounded podcast, by the way, guys.
We'll move on from that to Krista.
Hi.
Have you played any Halo?
Yeah. I've decided, because on Master Chief Collection, I haven't played Halo 1, 2, or 3 Legendary Solo. So I'm like, you know what? I hate myself. I'm going to stream that. And so yesterday, I streamed for 5 hours and got 3 missions done in Halo Combat Evolved.
Are you doing it, like, legitimately, or are you cheating with the skulls?
I'm not cheating with the skulls. I'm doing it legit.
I've done it enough times on Legendary. Fuck that. I just turned on infinite ammo and rolled.
I am regretting my life. It took me 3 hours to get through Truth and Reconciliation.
Does it unlock the achievement for when you do the skulls?
I don't think it does. That's why.
I think it does, yeah. I did Bandana and Grunt Funeral for most of them, and I got the achievements.
Oh, well, I'm doing the playlist.
I think infinite ammo works on Halo 1 and 2 for playthroughs.
I think Bandana like disables the par time and the par score and stuff like that. But in terms of just completion.
Yeah, because I basically played both those games as a mortar tank. All I did was launch plasma grenades infinitely at everyone.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous.
It's so good. And if you turn on Grunt Funeral, it's just a fucking nightmare in Truth and Reconciliation.
Yeah, that took me 3 hours to get through that. It was sad. So if you want to see my playthrough of me being sad playing Truth and Reconciliation for 3 hours, twitch.tv/KONAN_D_, you can see the pain in my face.
So it's not just a live thing. We can see it because it's like forever we can watch it.
It saves as VODs. Yeah, it saves as VODs. So it's like a 5-hour VOD. And I could download it and throw it up on the YouTube channel as well if we really want it.
Cool.
Let me know when you're doing the library, because I want to watch that.
Oh, yes.
I'll make it a special night. I'll make it like a Friday night. We'll all sit down together and you can watch me play the library and get very sad. I might cry. It'll be great.
I don't know if I've ever beaten C solo. Well, Legendary, I mean. I don't know if I have done that.
I think I did it on the 360, because I had almost every achievement for that one. I haven't done it on Master Chief Collection, and I haven't done it for Halo 2, so Halo 2 is going to be interesting.
The last time I did it legitimately was Combat Evolved Anniversary on 360, but when it came to Master Chief Collection, I was just like, no, I've done this enough times, I'm not doing it anymore, I don't care.
Boo.
Oren.
So I played some Halo 3 with some friends because of the Master Chief Collection updates with like challenges and all that kind of stuff when Halo 3 came out to PC, so I played a little bit of that. Played a little bit of multiplayer, and I was looking at my like achievements that I still need to get, and I still haven't earned the par scores for CE, because back when like the game launched, the scores were like ludicrously high, and then I remember them lowering them a couple years ago, but I just never went back to go and get them. So I've been working my way through that, and I just finished silent cartographer. So now what I'm trying to do is I have to like play through the mission to like get my memory and like time down. So then I can go back and enable some skulls so then I can get the points. So I'm having to like play the mission like two or three times before I'm able to get the score, because it's just different and harder in a way. Like in Halo 3, like that, you know, they had the score achievements and stuff back then. So when I was getting those a couple years ago, it was pretty easy to just do that again and get those scores. But because they added that to CE and Halo 2 and all that kind of stuff, it's a little different. So I'm having trouble doing that. But other than that, yeah, play a little bit of Grounded. But I'm enjoying getting back in the Halo. Based on the Waypoint blog, when ODST comes out, I'm basically going to be saving up all of my season points so then I can buy a bunch of the stuff from the season 3 track that they kind of hinted at. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
I'm still very slowly unlocking my way to my Reach, Spartan. It's a little bit handier now that there's PvE ways to earn stuff, but it's slow going.
I would want to use the Gungor helmet because I just thought that was the funniest helmet in Halo Reach. And yeah, I was like, I don't really want to level up like 70 season points just to get the helmet when I don't play it as much as I used to. So I'm going to save them all up. I'm going to do the Halo 3 stuff because it seems that we're going to be getting a lot of the same armor upgrades like we did for the CE update for the current season. So it should be exciting stuff.
Cool.
Now to interrogate Nate.
Yeah, we're going to let Krista do this.
Hi.
Go on, Krista, you have the floor.
Hi, Nate. Who are you? Some people don't know who you are.
I'm still trying to find that out myself.
No, I know, me too. It's okay. I get it.
You're trying to figure out who he is?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who he is as well. So if you don't know, Nate was one of our founding members of Podcast Evolved. In the beginning, you know, God created the sun and space and Podcast Evolved.
Halo.
Yeah, and Halo. And it's a funny story. We were on the Podcast Unlocked server, and a couple of us were talking so much Halo, because the Halo universe is our only friend, and finding people to actually talk about deep lore stuff in Halo is almost impossible at that point. And we talked so much about Halo that we had to go and make a podcast, basically. Is that how it went, Nate?
That is how it went.
It was pretty good. So Nate was one of our founding members. Because of reasons, he stopped being on the show, but now he's back.
Yeah.
He's back and better than ever. So we've got a couple of games have come out since we've sat down and talked on the podcast. Master Chief Collection. You like that? Is it good?
Yes, I love Master Chief Collection.
Okay, Halo 5. Halo 5, one of the Halos that is a hot topic for discussion. How are you liking Halo 5?
Without it being convoluted, I actually loved a lot of stuff about it. I did not hate the story like a lot of people do. I liked the graphics a lot. I loved that the co-op was like a bunch of Spartans, that you all got to be a bunch of Spartans together. I loved that. I didn't like how linear it was. So I do want more of an open world type of thing, you know, like most of the other ones were. That was my only complaint really with that game. I liked it a lot.
We haven't talked very much. And of course, Infinite's right around the corner. But before we get into the Infinite talk and your impressions on all the new information, what Halo games have you been playing lately, if any? Or just games in general?
Yeah, I play them all off and on. Basically, recently I started playing Halo 2 because of how that whole story arc seems to be folding into Infinite. Got me all excited to see what's up with that, because I was an idiot and I didn't play it when it came out. And everyone is yelling at me now that I'm telling them that it's completely underrated. So I'm excited.
How far are you? So are you playing the game for the first time?
Yeah, I know. It's stupid.
Really? Halo 2? Oh, man. How are you liking it? What part are you at?
I'm only in the very beginning, and I'm loving it.
It really opens up the Halo universe. It does a really good job.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So what are your... So, of course, the Xbox kind of event happened, and it was a thing. So what are your first impressions of Halo Infinite from that thing that we saw?
The gameplay and trailers.
For me, I was actually excited about it. I really dug it. So it was kind of weird to me that everybody was like tearing it apart. I also knew what they were going for. And you know, it'd be nice if the graphics were a little bit better, but to me, you got to mix it between how they're doing more of an open world type thing with tons of co-op. So anybody expecting it to look like The Last of Us 2 is kind of ridiculous to me. And then you also mix that with that they're doing totally different than what the other systems are, where it's like a transition like PC is. I'm not trying to like say that they can't make it better or whatever. I'm just saying, you know, this whole thing is a very new thing to say we're going to have Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and all these different versions like PC is, you know, of different graphical. Like they've been doing it with Gears of War and with Sea of Thieves for like PC type stuff, you know, where you can have all these different layers of graphics.
Yeah.
So it didn't really, it just didn't feel bad to me. But it's also not a linear game.
Yeah, that's it's really exciting what they're doing with that.
I think it's exciting. Yeah, I like it.
What did you think about all the gameplay and stuff like that?
I love the part where he throws the brute through the grenade.
Yes.
And I'm really digging some of the weapons that they have, like some of the alien ones, you know, compared to what the alien ones were in the past couple games. I'm really digging that.
The grapple shot looks pretty dope, too. I'm excited to play around with that.
It's so cool. Do you have any opinion on, like, where they're taking the story?
Oh, man. At first, I was kind of like, I was a little worried about it because I didn't know what they were going to do. But this whole thing of taking the Halo Wars 2 type of thing mixed in with it and then also doing the stuff from 5 is kind of interesting. I'm pretty excited about what they're going to do with it.
They're going in an interesting direction. I think we're all interested to see more. What did you think about the lack of multiplayer in the conference?
Yeah, that didn't bother me, but I do feel like they could have showed more. I'm not going to lie about that. I, you know, for how much we're all waiting for this and they've been holding it off and holding off, I was hoping it was a little longer. But I am super excited about it. I did like a demo.
All right. Do we want to move on to some of the nitty-gritty for the demo and some of the news that's come out?
Let's move on to some of the news, because I think a lot of the stuff in there, I think, relates to Nate's opinions and just kind of ours as well. So we might as well just start diving into it all because we have so much to talk about. You know, last week, essentially, you had different Infinite developers going out, talking with the news outlets and stuff like that, giving a little bit more context to what we saw in the trailers. First off, I just want to say that there's basically 4 pieces of videos that we have that if you haven't seen them all, you can go check out on Halo's YouTube. We have, of course, the 8-minute demo. We have the, like, 2-minute gameplay trailer and, like, another 2-minute cinematic trailer of them, you know, constructing the Mjolnir armor. And then more recently, there's a audio video of the Set a Fire in Your Heart score from the soundtrack. And it was a very moving piece and very gives you a better, good idea of where the sound design and score is going for Halo Infinite. And so if you haven't had a chance to kind of listen to that, I recommend going out and listening to it. But I guess I'll just kind of go through all these different things and topics that are more worth discussion. We'll just kind of get everyone's take on it. And we'll start with the Waypoint blogs that came out. So we have their 343's kind of response to the reception, as well as just general updates for just Halo as general. And they touched on the art style and the visual fidelity, which were kind of hot topics on the internet. And, you know, of course, we're going to that kind of gamey and cleaner models and more colorful palette from Halo's past. And they touched on the fidelity that you were talking about, Nate, to where, like, yeah, this is a work in progress. Like, it's not going to be, you know, you said Last of Us 2, but I mean, you can kind of put it into another open world game like, you know, Red Dead or...
But the single players and co-op. I'll shut up now.
That's true. So it's a living world, and you have co-op, you have different instances, and what they do is different from what Halo's going to do. So there's still room for them to really improve on it, and they touched on that. And so it's good to see that they're listening, as they say that they've been doing for the last couple of years, which is why we've kind of had this return to art form. So if you want some more sort of behind the scenes on what 343 is kind of talking about from a philosophy standpoint, you can check out the notes there. But they also get into some other, like, FAQ questions, like what's commonly asked questions on the internet.
And so one thing that I wanted to kind of get people's takes on is the weapons. So they showed the new pistol and the new shotgun that are going to be in Infinite in the demo. And 343 confirmed that these are the two weapons that will be, quote unquote, replacing what we're accustomed to in previous games. And it's been a pretty hot topic on the internet. Personally, we've had a different pistol in every game. So the fact that we're getting a new pistol to me is not that big of a news. And I just hope that it plays, for me personally, kind of like Halo 5's pistol, because I found that pistol to be a very good modern pistol. And then the shotgun is like a new take on the shotgun, more oomph at a closer range with a faster rate of fire. So kind of just talking about the weapons in general, like, okay, we can go to you, Nate, first. Like, you kind of touched on this already. Like, do you like these kind of innovative ways to kind of bring new things to Halo, or do you really like that kind of old school classic things that we've been playing for the past 15 years?
Yeah, I don't mind it too much, but yeah, it does seem weird that they're changing the shotgun so much. The pistol, it's more of a cosmetic thing, because they've been having to do that ever since the first game, for balancing and stuff. But yeah, I guess the things that I love the most from it was the alien-type stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that looked really cool, it looked like an improvement, but I am a little wishy-washy about taking a riot shotgun to replace the regular pump. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's fair. Krista, Aaron?
I think the riot shotgun is a little more, I guess, modern. I don't really have... Like, when it comes to most of the weapon stuff, I don't have as much of a opinion on that. As long as it plays well, I'm pretty good. The complaining about the pistol is weird because it's like, what do you expect? The Halo 1 Magnum? Like, that's never coming back unless it's a, like, special thing like we saw in Halo 5. I get why people are upset because every time, like, something changes in Halo, people get a little miffed. I don't mind any of the changes. I like all the new guns. I think they look really good.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting similar callbacks to when 343 changed the rocket launcher in Halo 5. And I feel like they changed it to just to make it not take up half the screen like it normally does when you wield it. I miss the old rocket launcher, but like as soon as I got over the fact that it's essentially the same thing. It's just a different skin. It's a different game. And even people in the chat are saying, like, if you like old Halo, play old Halo, but like still know that it's more innovation as opposed to just changing. So that's my take on it anyway. Some other things that were just basically confirmations. They have a pro team working on multiplayer. 343 has said that the campaign will support 2-player split screen and 4-player online co-op, LAN support, no real money microtransactions, Halo Reach style Spartan customization, which I'm really excited for because we kind of had a little bit of that, I guess, in Halo 4, but it wasn't unlocked the same way, I'd say, because Halo 4 had a pretty diverse like customization option, but Halo Reach, I think, is the kind of, not the prime example, but I think the most liked example of like how to unlock certain armor pieces, would you guys say, like with the credit system and stuff like that?
For aesthetics, I think the credit system works better than the rec system.
It depends on what they're going to do. I would be happy enough if you mixed the two. If you had a very high like credit price to buy the piece of armor you want versus a much lower price to take a chance at the rec packs, like I could see a good compromise, like something like that. You know, if it's 5,000 credits for a gold pack or whatever, and they say to you, but for 50,000 or 60,000, you can buy the helmet you want. So you can make a choice and go, do I want the rec packs or do I just want this item?
I don't think I've seen that done before. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I could be happy with something like that. I'm curious, there's news coming later on, which makes me think that it may not be quite that straightforward, and there will probably be things just for cash sale as well, because we got to touch on that later, but I don't think it'll be anything, I'm hoping it won't be anything offensive. If the rec system comes back, there's no way you can spend real money on it, because too many countries are now updating their gambling laws that loot boxes are gambling, so I'd say if the rec system comes back, it'll be in-game credit only just to keep them safe.
I don't want to spend any more money.
Whatever system they use, I just want it to be where it's like, I feel like I have a choice over
how I earn my gear, even if it's similar to the sort of season pass that they're introducing into Master Chief Collection right now, where in season two, you know, you have your 10 levels and you can buy whatever 10 of those in whatever order you want, but you need to buy all 10 of those before you move on to the next one. And in Halo Reach, if you wanted like a certain helmet attachment, you had to first buy that helmet and then buy the sequential attachments that get to like the specific one you want. So I think kind of having that sort of grind where it's like, okay, I'm actively pursuing this gear and I just have to do these steps to get there. I feel like that's maybe what I want, but they don't, but I can see how they wouldn't want to push that too hardcore for more casual players to where like randomly dropped, you know, loot box type things could be more enticing. But for that to be the only way to earn stuff like in Halo 5 was kind of just like, okay, I'm here at the slot machine again. Let's see what I get. Oh, cool. I got this one. I guess I get to wear it now. We'll more than doubt learn about that later. They also touched on that Forge is returning.
Sergeant Forge is coming back from the dead?
Sergeant Forge.
Oh my god, hot take.
You'll be able to still pick easy, normal, heroic, or legendary at the main menu when you play, and kind of just other little things like that. I suggest go and giving it a read. It's pretty informative and gives you, I think it just kind of rounds out everything that we've learned this week for Halo Infinite. So then now they can really start diving into specific gameplay choices or aspects of the game and modes and stuff that they want to, now that they've kind of got the generalities kind of out of the way. Briefly, not about Halo Infinite, there is an MCC development update, which is quite extensive if you want to take a look at it. There's even an 18-minute video that talks about a Halo 3 hit registration bug. I got about 3 minutes in before I kind of got lost. So if you're into that kind of stuff, go check it out. It talks about that bug, and then the rest of the post is all about features they're adding, the Battle Pass preview, you know, ODST is coming, Firefight is returning, which I'm really excited for, to have ODST-style Firefight.
Exactly that, yeah.
Like, did you guys earn the, I forget the name of the achievement, but the Vidmaster? Like, I did that, like, 3 or 4 times just for the fun of it.
Well, I know who to play when I want achievements. Jesus Christ.
Like, I played the crap out of Firefight back in ODST time. So I'm excited to kind of jump back into that.
I might be able to play it. Oh, I was going to say, that was back in the days when I had terrible internet. So anytime I used to play a Firefight, people would tell me what my character was doing. It was different to what I was doing.
I had to fight through some internet troubles as well back in 2010.
Those were the dark days.
The dark internet days.
Yeah. Then lastly, for the Master Chief Collection, they've said that they plan to bring crossplay between consoles and PC by the end of 2020, as well as bringing ODST and Halo 4 to PC before the end of 2020. So I think I said this way back when, but to me, it just makes the most sense to get Halo 4 and all that stuff out before Infinite launches, because I don't know who's really going to go back and play Halo 4 after Infinite comes out. That's just development, I think, working against them right now. So hopes that they can hit their goals and we get a great launch.
I'm surprised that crossplay hasn't been done in Master Chief Collection just yet, because it feels like most other big party titles from Microsoft are crossplay. Because one of my friends is like, oh, we haven't talked for a while, we should play Halo, because that's the game that everyone suggests when they play games with me. And I'm like, oh, cool, do you have an Xbox? He's like, no, I have it on PC. I'm like, we can't play together. We have to wait. It's like, what?
I'm guessing they're too afraid to throw crossplay into the mix before they add the last few games, because
yeah,
there's just been such a history of this game being on fire.
The fire's never been fully burnt out either. It's just like slowly smoldering in the background.
Yeah, I wonder if it's easier to add crossplay once all of the games are out, as opposed to adding crossplay and then as you add each game, you have to kind of have it still crossplay enabled. So I'm sure there's development stuff in there to where it seems to me that that's something that they would add after everything is out.
All right, so Chris Lee, he's the Infinite studio head, and Paul Crocker, he's the associate creative director for Halo Infinite. The two of them made their rounds across the internet today. So we're going to be talking about a lot of the things that they said. And so they talked with IGN. There are four separate articles that you can read. I guess IGN really needed the clicks to have four separate articles. I don't know why they just didn't put it into like two. But they talk about kind of the ability to explore the ring and find all these different nooks and crannies and stuff, and kind of compared it to Halo 5 and other Halo games, to where, you know, you had your terminals and you had your like alternate guns and stuff from Halo 5 that encouraged you to venture off the linear path to kind of go and find. And they're kind of taking that philosophy of looking for these Easter eggs and like the skulls and stuff, but just putting it on a ring scale, to where you can go where you want to go and explore how you want to explore. So that's just kind of interesting. It kind of touches on what, Nate, you were saying earlier, that you're really excited for like that exploration, kind of discovering what you want to discover as you play the game.
I think discovery is really important in Halo. I think it's really cool. I think we need more of it. I think we need actual terminals this time and not written stuff, please. We can have written stuff and video terminals. Let's do both, please.
I think they updated the terminals in Master Chief Collection, because I accidentally clicked on one when I was playing CE, and it started playing it in the game, whereas usually it would take you out to the Halo channel.
Did they fix
that? Yeah, they finally fixed it.
Thank fuck.
It's so annoying. I hate it.
We can kill the Halo channel and be done with it.
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Which is a shame, because I feel like Halo channel could have been this really cool thing, but it just didn't. It didn't stick.
Yeah, I think the support was there for a while, but it wasn't there long enough for it to become a staple.
I just think they ran out of stuff to talk about, because they basically paired it with the Master Chief Collection like launch hype, and then once it came out and you got your terminals, there was like no reason to go back.
Well, and here's
into
the
it.
Other thing: Master Chief Collection launch wasn't the most smoothest launch ever.
That is true.
So they were probably more worried about making the Master Chief Collection playable than the Halo channel. They should have done a podcast on there, you know?
Yeah, they should have just done a podcast. That would have been... And then they should have just hired us.
Exactly. There you go.
Let's see. Some other hot takes. There's going to be a day and night cycle in Halo Infinite.
That's a big deal to me.
I like both day and night. Wow.
Real excited to see how that plays and what, I don't know, how that affects Halo. Because we've had, of course, night missions and day missions and evening missions and all that kind of stuff throughout Halo. But to kind of have it being dynamic, like you said, as well as like how it may change the way you, not necessarily approach something, but like, say you're in an area during the day, you may discover new things when you're playing at night. So it could be just interesting, just from a kind of visual
standpoint. I
wonder
if the wildlife on the ring will play into that.
Oh, you know, fine rightly, there's going to be some fucking terrifying nocturnal animals.
Yeah, like sleeping rhinos that you have to go around.
I love sleeping rhinos.
Let's see, we talked about our enemy, Eshram. Just kind of just talk about him. I think he's an interesting character, and we'll definitely learn more about him. I like that we do have a villain, like an actual, like, guy that's there. Like the Halo 4 kind of sort of had that with the Didact,
the vampire.
Yeah, the vampire, but I never really got a good threat from him. And I feel like with the way they went with Halo Wars 2, they're really building off what they learned there, because there was really none of that in Halo 5, and Halo 2 obviously did it the best with Tartarus. So yeah, I kind of like having a big bad guy that you presumably have to fight at the end. To me, that really makes a good kind of Halo villain.
He's almost like accepting a rivalry between him and Master Chief, which will be a lot of fun.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, there's history there that we don't fully know yet, because Eshram even says that we thought you dead, and you know, I've been bored after we defeated all the UNSC troops. So like we need to have a fight to remember that will outlive us for the rest of, you know, time, I guess.
It really harkens to the real nature of brutes wanting challenges and enemies to defeat and conquer and overcome. It's really showing that kind of side of the brutes that we really haven't seen, because Tartarus was completely on the prophet's side, so he was doing what they wanted and not kind of feeding into his brute side. So it's kind of nice to see a character that's just completely like, I'm a Jirohani. I like to fight. I choose you. Let's go.
So it's like a normal day for Krista then?
Yeah, that's me. I fight people all the time.
Does not surprise me.
So the next kind of big topic I want to bring up that's talked about throughout the IGN and also on VGC, Infinite is supposedly a 10-year plan. Kind of touched on this a little bit at the top of the show, but essentially Halo Infinite is like the next Halo game for seemingly the Xbox Series X generation. From the way it's sounding is that we're not going to get a new title, but rather we're going to get some form of story DLC and updates that I would imagine just kind of expands where we go on the ring, since it is destroyed and all that kind of stuff. Krista, what do you think about the next 10 years?
I hate to say the D word, but this sounds very much like what Bungie was talking about when Destiny originally came out. Like, exactly what they were talking about. Which is fine.
But Activision isn't attached.
Yeah, now that Activision, yeah. I'm optimistic. I think it's amazing. I think adding on to the game is great. I feel like 10 years might be too much. I think 5 years is more realistic until we get the next Halo game. Like, they support the game for 5 years, and then the new game comes out. 10 years is a really long time in gaming. Like, that's more than a console cycle.
I think it's because of this cloud stuff, you know? But you're right. I mean, it has to do with the hardware. I think eventually it's only going to be on Series X. That's the thing. It's like a transition.
I'm sure eventually the expansion passes will only come out for Series X. I'm imagining, like, Destiny-esque expansions.
I'm willing to argue that it's not. I feel like this, I think the way they're marketing Halo Infinite is to be that game that bridges you from last gen to next gen.
But as a transition, not as you get another 10 years of your Xbox One. I don't buy that.
I just find it strange that they would have all the support for both consoles and then you get a DLC, which, if we're talking and comparing it to Destiny, my concern is that often when Destiny DLC comes out, maybe not in recent years, but definitely over the last 5 or so years, it's always been like, oh, we got like 5 or 6 missions and it's already over with, and it was a kind of a blasé kind of a story. And
I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want that too. And so I feel like having this type of DLC extenuation of the story, that's my concern, is that even with the Halo Wars 2 DLCs, like Spearbreaker and Awakening of the Nightmare, I can't remember like what really the internet said about it, but I found those DLCs to be basically the passable amount of new missions, new sort of gameplay encounters to where it was enjoyable to play. But it was definitely balancing on that line to where it was like, okay, this is just a few more missions to play and then it's over, as opposed to really bringing in a new perspective and stuff like they did with Awakening of the Nightmare, and you play as the Banished and all that kind of stuff. So I think 343 really just needs to be creative, no matter how long they support this, to make sure that it's more than just, oh, 2 or 3 more hours of Halo.
Yeah, they need to make it feel like Halo. For instance, like most of the games, pretty much all of them, but Reach for me, like, I could play all of those levels for Firefight or for playing with friends or whatever in co-op over and over and over again, because it immersed me. So if you can do that, then cool. But if it's just going to be like, oh, hey, this is just an area and there's some bad guys, and you have to be hardcore to even follow the story, you know, I would not be happy with that.
We don't know if this game is going to be taking place solely on Installation 07. So some of the DLC might take us away from Installation 07. So we might get to go to different places in the Halo universe that might be more engaging than staying on the Halo this whole time. Also, you gotta remember with some of these DLCs, if they're going to be supporting it for 5 to 10 years, some of them are going to be huge groundbreaking DLCs, and some of them are just going to be like, here's a cool side story for you to kind of munch on.
And that's what I want. I want some of the DLCs to be like, this is the next game, even though you don't go out and buy some physical copy or whatever. It's still in the same engine, it's still all this, but this is a whole new story with new levels and everything, and it's big.
I've heard a couple of people saying they'd heard that the side missions, you could get side missions as other characters, which I kind of like, just a traditional linear Halo level, but it wouldn't be on the Halo. So like whether or not it ever turns out to be true, but like if you had an Arbiter level, it's just a Sangelios level. You play as the Arbiter, you do your mission, you go. Kind of ODST-esque, where you're in the open world and then you're flashing back to something else, which I personally really like the idea of.
I don't know if you would want to develop and build a whole Sangelios level just for like
one mission. I mean, if it was a world like Destiny.
Yeah, but think about like in Destiny, like they create these destinations that you go to and you play multiple levels and strikes and raids within the aesthetic of these planets or moons and stuff. Like there's not really a, I mean, I'd have to like think about my Destiny knowledge, but like even like their multiplayer stuff, you may go to one aspect of the world, but it's still a mission or it's still a level from Earth or Mars or something. So the assets and stuff are still there.
I suppose you think about it at the minute, like that's all Halo 5 is. It's a collection of separate linear levels. Like they reuse them as themes for some multiplayer maps and that, but like you go and you play in Sinion, you play that mission once and you never go back.
Unless you're replaying, yeah.
Yeah, I could see them building levels like that if you were just going to have a mission, you know. I don't think that's any different. Like that's traditional Halo games. You make a level, it looks this way. You play it, you may reuse those assets someday for something else, but that's basically what they do at the minute.
I don't mind it a little bit like CE did it, where they were able to do that with the story. But to milk it too much, I'm not real crazy about that. I really want, for some reason Halo just immerses me in Destiny. I played it a lot with friends and everything, and I thought the gameplay was great, but it did not immerse me. I felt like I was playing a video game.
Well, Destiny doesn't have the best support when it comes to a story. Like, everything's in those Grimoire cards and stuff like that, which has always been a problem I've had with Destiny.
Well, the new guns you get don't feel very different. They feel just tweaked.
Well, only time will tell. They'll no doubt be sharing a little bit more about this implementation, probably right before launch, and then probably details about the expanded stories that they're going to be telling after launch, because they've said that this Halo Infinite will kind of continue the story of Halos 4 and 5 and kind of wrap up those stories, but also begin a new sort of era of Halo that will then be continued for the next 5 to 10 years. Seemingly 10, but who knows? Who knows how that goes? Last thing I'll say is, Nate, I was thinking, like, if they were to embrace the Series X, because no doubt there has been criticism about games being held back because they're cross-platform, I actually could see them doing these isolated DLC levels or worlds that are expansive and are very unique and innovative that then makes it a Series X sort of exclusive content so it can be able to take the full power. And so that experience kind of becomes unique to the Series X and exclusive there while keeping the rest of kind of the vanilla and maybe earlier content cross-generational. So I'd be interested to see how they implement that, but I'm not opposed to I can think of that being a option that they pursue.
Yeah, I just think it's trying to make it this a smooth transition for people so it's easier, you know, because some people are all about like I gotta have the latest greatest stuff, you know, and that's cool, but like usually these systems, they don't really take advantage of how well they can take advantage of the hardware for a couple years.
Yeah.
So let people just, you know, do what they want to do. But then after that couple years is in, 2-3 years, now maybe you're going to have to go. Because even when they've been showing stuff on these previews, they've been saying, like, these ones are only on Series X. These ones are cross-platform. They're just making it easier for the consumer, I think.
Yeah. That's a good point. Most of Halo's, like, AAA titles that were at that showcase, pretty much Halo's the only one that's cross-platform. Like, Avowed, Forza, Hellblade, Everwild, all of those are exclusive, so we'll be seeing them in 2022, 2023 sort of time frame. So definitely interesting to see what happens down the line. So there, I do want to plug Haruspis, who's a Halo blogger. He was invited to talk with 343 about Halo Infinite. He kind of touches on some of the things we've already talked about, but there are some other information there that we've kind of tied into other news today. So just wanted to give him a plug that we kind of used his scoop for the episode today. So you can check out his blog. It's just haruspis.blog.com and check out some of the content that he's created.
Winding down, we're going to get an art book, guys, just like the other games that was announced. Dark Horse announced it. It's going to come out the same day as Halo Infinite's launch. We don't know what it is yet. Cover looks pretty dope. I haven't got... Do you guys usually pick up the art books?
Dude, Dark Horse, just the smell of them even. Oh, yeah, I'm a sucker. I get them.
I haven't gotten one yet, but I might get it for Halo Infinite. It's just like another Halo book for me to find some place to put, though. Oh my god, I have so many, help.
There's no point in me going like, yeah, I'll get an art book. It's not going to happen.
Dark Horse is quality. That's what I'm going to say if you guys ever think about it.
Oh yeah, I usually don't... I haven't gotten an art book for a Halo game, but I think this might be the game I get it for because I really like how the art book is, or how the art that we've seen is kind of just expanding on classic Halo, and I really like Chief's armor in Infinite, so I'll definitely be checking that out and interested to see what comes with the deluxe edition because there is a standard and a deluxe. So to kind of see what kind of the differences are there will be very interesting, and we'll kind of give you guys updates as we learn more about
Dr.
that.
Halsey's Journal Part 2!
Phil Spencer said, quote, Halo Infinite multiplayer will be special.
Okay, that's nice of him to say.
Yeah, I hope I feel the same way about that. Yeah.
There's a quote from GameStop, but he kind of talks about how Halo 5's multiplayer was very well received and that esports players have been heavily involved in what 343 is doing with Halo Infinite. He says that there it's going to be something very special. I think it's going to be extra special because we learned a few days later through a leak and then later confirmed by Halo that, or through 343, that Infinite's multiplayer will be free to play for everybody. So how do we feel? This is pretty huge. This has never been a thing for any Halo.
It is a thing for Master Chief Collection on Steam at the minute. One of the guys in the chat reminded me that earlier. Like, that's the model they went with Master Chief Collection now. It's the multiplayer is free to play in Steam and you just buy the campaigns and add them onto it.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, nice.
That is the test run for this.
Is there any sort of subscription service for Steam games in terms of online playability? I'm not a PC gamer, so I don't know.
I don't think so. But normally you would just like either the game's free to play or you would just buy it like the good old days would have been. You just buy Master Chief Collection then play the multiplayer. But you can just download the multiplayer component and work away. It doesn't immediately fill me with fear. It depends how the monetization works because we talked about that earlier, like, will it be, you know, will it be battle passes, season passes? I can't imagine it's going to be rec system because that's classified as gambling now in too many territories and they're not going to want to get involved with that. So the only other thing I can see is maybe like Destiny and just special skins and cosmetics that are purchasable only.
That would be fine.
So this is kind of like what like Battle Royale type games do where you have like Fortnite or Apex.
Oh, you're scaring me.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but it does kind of relate to another thing that we have to talk about. But if you have these kind of exclusive armor permutations and stuff like that, does it like, is that possibly where we're heading?
Probably. Here's the thing. It'll make you feel better. Halo Infinite's on Game Pass, which means it's basically free to play anyway.
True.
I like that. It just scares me of, you know, what it's going to be like when you don't even have to have Game Pass.
It'll probably just be only I'm guessing it's definitely going to be only cosmetics.
What I find interesting is that if the multiplayer, like Halo is like Halo games today's standards are huge games because you have a campaign, you have a social multiplayer, you have a competitive multiplayer, you have some form of alternate mode, whether it's Warzone or Firefight, you have Forge, you have Theater, so you there's a lot of different modes and aspects that kind of make up today's standard of a Halo game. So I guess if multiplayer is now free, which is arguably half of what a typical game is, then is Halo going to be a $60 game, and is that going to have a good value of what like the campaign and stuff are to become?
Here's the other question: Are all aspects of multiplayer going to be free, or only some aspects of multiplayer?
We don't know. All that was said by the tweet that 343 tweeted out, they said, Halo is for everyone. We can confirm Halo Infinite multiplayer will be free to play and will support 120 frames per second on Xbox Series X. More details to be shared later.
It could be that there's like other multiplayer modes like Firefight or Warzone or something that might not be available to free-to-play people.
But that's co-op, and I'm all about co-op, but that shouldn't be multiplayer.
Yeah.
I could see them making the distinction between PvE and PvP and just go, you want to play a Slayer free, not a problem. You want to come and play Warzone Firefight? That might be where you have to buy the campaign. Because those, you know, those Firefight modes, you usually use similar maps and stuff. So at that rate of going, you're then into the campaign. And I'm kind of hoping they cut the price on the bit that you buy. Like, imagine, you know, if multiplayer's free and they turn around and say that Halo's $30 this year.
That's not happening, unfortunately.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't $60.
I don't know. Like, the majority of people are going to Game Pass it anyway, so...
True, and that could be just Microsoft's strategy, but like I feel like there's still money to be made at $60, even if part of your game is free.
What if you just bought like yearly expansions at 30 quid a piece if you're not on Game Pass? Like that was just the way you go?
It's paving a new road.
Pricing is a whole nother model, and it kind of ties into another thing that we have, another rumor circling around the internet that's more of like an Xbox brand, but relates to this free-to-multiplayer aspect, is that Xbox.com has delisted 6-month, 12-month, and 24-month options for Xbox Live Gold, which of course is what allows everyone on Xbox to play online competitive, even if it's free to play, like Fortnite and Apex and all, and Warzone, Call of Duty. Like, you still need a gold subscription, even though those are free to play games on the Xbox platform. Yeah, to see how that rumor might be related to Halo being free to play, like it could just be as simple as them announcing a platform wide standard as it pertains to just Halo. That we probably will learn later this month because we have some services and hardware stuff from Xbox later this month. Definitely a big eyebrow raise, in my opinion.
We have a question in the chat, and it is, do we think there's going to be a special edition Halo Infinite console? I feel like it would have been announced by now.
I can see it still being announced in August when we get the supposed Lockhart reveal. I don't know. On the one hand, I feel like it'd be better or easier to just manufacture the new consoles because there's going to be such a demand for them, and to then manufacture a limited edition console on top of that might be hard-hitting on the manufacturing side of it. But at the same instance, this would be the perfect time to match a Series X-themed console with Halo all at the same time. So I could see it, I guess, is where I'll end it.
I could very easily see an Infinite Elite controller, Series 2. See, they're not making the old hardware anymore. I can't see them doing a special edition. Well, they haven't announced it yet, unless their version of the Scorpio edition for this generation is just the Infinite console. Like, they did do a limited run Scorpio edition for the Xbox One X. They could do the same thing here, you know. It could just be
the Scarlet edition?
Yeah, that... Was it Scarlet, Scorpio? What did they...
I think Scarlet was the code name for Series
Scorpio
X.
Yeah, Scorpio is the... I have the Project Scorpio version of Series X, or Xbox One X.
Yeah, see, I could see them doing like that, just that'll be... Because they set some production aside to make those from the regular Xbox One X.
And it's just a skin, like, it's just an aesthetic thing. It's not like the console's any different inside, it's just the casing.
Yeah, they've got pretty good at making some very fancy, funky, laser-etched hardware these days. I still think the Gears Xbox One is, like, one of the best special edition consoles that anyone's ever made.
Yeah.
I could see something like that, possibly. I don't know. I know it's kind of late in the game before launch to announce it, but they know fine rightly we're all suckers and we lead it up regardless.
Well, I mean, you can't even pre-order the Xbox Series X, so I guess it's not that far behind, is it?
I feel like if there is something to announce, it would be this month when they presumably announce the price and presumably announce whatever Lockhart is. They just kind of do it all at the same time. But that'd be my guess, because if you delay it, then it's like, well, I already have my pre-order for the Series X. Now you announce a, you know, by then it's already September.
Yeah, I mean, PlayStation's running out of time too, really.
Yeah, I could see this, like, August event being, here's your consoles, here's your price. One more thing, here's this Halo console that we tripped over out the back. Do you want it too? Here's the price. Although,
yeah,
those things are going to be expensive.
Oh, of course.
I could see the Infinite console being the same price, but just being super limited.
Aye, but where they'll get you is they'll charge you like double the price for the Halo-themed expansion card for the memory.
Yeah, it's a Cortana chip, the Seagate memory storage.
Remember when you used to buy 360 memory cards?
Yeah, oh, I remember.
I bought the big 360 memory card. They got all my money.
Aren't you special?
I did too.
Bro. It was so overpriced for the amount of storage. It was terrible. Then they let us move to USB sticks.
But the one lets you use whatever you want.
True. I mean, you can still use whatever you want on Series X, but you can't just play optimized versions of the games unless it's on the SSD. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Lastly, for the news, just to kind of go off of what we've been saying, we mentioned some Battle Royale stuff and that the multiplayer is free to play. A Japanese website did have Halo Infinite listed as a Battle Royale shooter, but that was clarified by Sticker Boys, who's a community moderator for 343, and said it's a poor translation. No Battle Royale is currently being developed for Infinite. And then there was another random Twitter rumor saying that multiplayer would launch separate from campaign. And Sketch, the community director, debunked it and said, no, nothing to see here. You're getting all of Halo Infinite all at the same time.
Do we think the one person that runs the Xbox Japan office got fired over that? There can't be that many people in the Xbox Japan office.
Yeah.
Because there's so few, he probably didn't get fired because then
no one would be working.
Be able to sustain. It's the only web designer that works. But that's the it, everybody.
Oh, we got through all that news? I thought we were going to be here for 4 days.
No, I decided to speed things up and not read every single quote that I gathered, but used it as a reference. So it's a lot of stuff. And I mean, really, there's some more tidbits in there that you can just kind of get out on yourself if you want to do some research. But the gist of it is that Halo Infinite is going to be open world. It's going to be badass. It's going to be great. It looks like classic Halo. It's going to get better visuals later on. And multiplayer is free.
I'm all about SWAT.
Hell yeah. You can kill all the noobs that just got the game.
Yep.
David, I think... wow.
Aaron, every single time.
Every time. Hey, at least I catch myself.
You said his name. That's not catching yourself.
What is this racism? Just because we're both Irish and we sound similar.
It's because I was starting to read the voicemails that we have, and David's name is in a voicemail, and that's what happened.
I think that's an awful stretch, because that doesn't explain all the other times.
Ooh.
I can't account for the other times, because I don't remember.
Wow.
Deeply hurt that you want David here more than me.
I think you're great, Aaron. And no one has a hashtag for you yet, so that's good. You're not competition yet.
Aaron's my personal favorite host.
I'm my favorite host.
Right, now we have to do the magical moment where I hope that voicemails play on the Skype and Discord. This will be exciting.
Yeah, if you want to call us, be aware that if you call us, we will play your stuff out loud, so don't say embarrassing shit.
Krista, what's the voicemail number while I bring this up?
The voicemail number is 205-386-5833 or 205-EVOLVED.
And if you want to ring that number, you can leave us a voicemail like the first person here did. DeSuto, who rang us at probably like the cost of one of his children and their souls, because he rang this number from the UK, and that's far too long distance a call, but I appreciate the dedication. Okay, everyone, cross your fingers.
Greetings, everyone. It is I, the Prophet of Mercy. I'm sorry I'm by myself. The others couldn't make it. Regret is busy practicing his sermons, and truth is drop-kicking Krista Sims out of the Discord. So I'm calling you all the way over from the United States of Kingdomness in Yorkshire. And this is probably happening straight after the Xbox event that I've just gone live, so this will be listened to. So can you believe that the installation 07 monitor is actually Sergeant Johnson? Number 11769. Anyway, I'm going to cut to the chase because this international call is costing a lot of money. So we have the self-proclaimed Krista is best host, David has best beard, and Colin has sexiest voice. So Aaron and Oran and to be fair, Tom and Sal, what are you guys bringing to the table? I love the show. Love you very much. Signing off, this is the Prophet of Mercy, a.k.a. DeSudo, Evolved.
Evolved! That was amazing.
Yes. Thank you, DeSudo, for calling us all the way from the UK.
I'm interested to know how much that cost him.
Yeah, same.
We'll have to find out about this later, so...
Yeah, DeSudo, slide into my DMs and let me know.
God, I don't want to see my phone bill, is what he said.
So we'll find out later.
I just want to clarify that the installation monitor is 117649, not 69.
117649. And it's Sergeant Johnson, wow. Isn't that crazy?
I know. Like, who would have thought I still had odds on him coming back like the Terminator in Hunters in the Dark?
It kind of is, except just a little light bulb. The light bulb could be attached to a Terminator body. Who knows?
A light bulb could never contain all of Sergeant Johnson.
He knows what the lady's like. So what's your hashtag, Aaron?
I don't have one.
Aaron needs a hashtag, too.
I feel like these hashtags are things that the chat decides for us. So I think it's up to Discord to figure out what Aaron and Mai's hashtags are.
As long as you're not raising an army, I'll allow it.
There's nothing worse than coming up with your own nickname, so...
Aaron is hashtag old man.
I'm not even the oldest person on this podcast. Fuck you all. I don't like this. We're done. We're finished.
Hashtag worst beard. No, he's going to turn it off.
Yes, we're turning it off. We're done.
You guys got to be nice. He's the one who turns this shit on and off. We don't know how to do that.
I mean, all we need to do is just join the live show, and then we just talk live with everyone there, and we just don't even do Skype.
But who's going to edit it together later?
That's the big question. We'll need to bring David in here at that point.
Madness. Madness.
It's not even a hashtag. It's just at Aaron.
Right. We have our next voicemail. It is from Bartlett. Let's hit this and cross our fingers again.
Hey, Evolved crew. This is Bartlett Kane from the Discord. And I was just wondering, at the end of Hunt the Truth Season 2, Maya is said to have undergone AI assimilation, and I was curious if in any of the books they talk about whether that means this is like a new AI based off of her brain, or if this is like somehow her consciousness transferred into a AI. So yeah, thanks. Evolve.
Oh, that's a fun one. That is a real fun one. So when an AI is created using someone else's brain jelly, it basically means
brain
that,
juices.
Yeah, the brain juices, yeah. It creates a whole new being. They might have similar mannerisms and tonalities in their voices and stuff like that, but they are 100% a different being and are not, and it's not transferring consciousness between a normal person and an AI.
I suppose the thing is, in the very beginning, when there is no new personality yet, that's when they're the like closest to the host. Like I haven't listened to season 2 in a while, but I do think I remember a little bit of that, where she's like not entirely sure that who she is yet as a creation.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that it takes a little time to acclimatize.
I feel like she's just becoming a smart AI.
Like, you think it's her consciousness?
Well, no, just like how Cortana's a smart AI based off of Halsey and like all the other smart AIs. They're from real human brains, like you said, Krista. So I don't know if it's any more complicated than her just being her own AI, but we just won't get the similar. I mean, I think which is what you said earlier is just all it is.
Yes.
We didn't really like help with that question much, did we?
No, it's not. She doesn't have her. The AI won't have her consciousness. It's just a new being.
Yeah, it's just a. It's a new AI based off of her brain.
All right, we have our next voicemail, and it's from Lucas.
Hey guys, it's Lucas over on the Discord. I just wanted to give you guys a few questions and give a few of my thoughts on Halo Infinite trailer. So the first thing I wanted to ask was, in the beginning when Chief runs over that suicide grunt, you know, blood goes everywhere and plasma goes everywhere. What are your thoughts on like some of the new effects? Like there's that, there's the new methane tanks when they explode. It's like almost like just bright green. And then when Chief, the shields recharge, there's that gold effect that kind of goes over the screen. I wasn't a huge fan of that effect. It kind of, I feel like that would get in the way of the vision, but the grunt blood everywhere kind of gave me fears of war vibes, you know, stick them with a grenade, blood goes everywhere, you run them over with something, blood goes everywhere, blood is not red. The second thing I wanted to ask is, you know, there seems to be a lot of Covenant troops that don't have red, they have blue. So just what are your thoughts on why they're not all banished colors? If we are fighting banished, it could be a mercenary faction, but the, you know, just they don't have a way to supply all their clothing troops with red armor. You never know, it could be another reason. Keep up the good work, you guys. I loved the after live show. I thought it was great. I'm gonna go team red here out of the two. So no hard feelings. Just keep up the good work, guys, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lucas. That was a good one.
So the first question's about the suicide grunts and the shield recharge kind of aesthetics?
Yeah, so it's three questions. The first one's particle effects. What do we think about them?
Sexy.
I saw a screenshot, because there's whenever a new Halo game comes out since Halo 4, it's always, we need more blood. Give me more blood, because Halo's now a teen-rated game and there's no blood on the ground. So someone took a freeze frame when Chief shotguns an elite and like literally explodes in purple blood. But then when all that blood hits the ground, it just like disappears. And it's like, see guys, there's still blood in the game. And yeah, it's pretty impressive, like particle effects. It's very pretty. And I worry it's almost a little too pretty. We'll kind of see how it goes, but I don't want it to become too distracting to where I won't be able to see the enemy I'm shooting because so much stuff's flying up in my face.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. We don't want particle effects hindering our gameplay, because we're gamers.
Can I just take a minute to say that because it got cut off, it will be in the power of editing, but Lucas would like to point out that it cut off just before he said red team was best team.
Red team is not best team.
Oof, I wasn't on that one. That's weird.
All the good people were on red
team. And then, Aaron, were you saving this image for this question that you uploaded in the chat?
No, it did go into another chat earlier, but I just thought it was fitting.
It's pretty great. I like how Chief can drink it through his visor.
You're gonna have to explain the image for the chat.
So basically it's a triptych. It's a triptych meme with three images. The first one is the splattering of the suicide grunts, so plasma particles and blood particles and methane particles splash up in this beautiful kind of aqua blue, bright blue mist. Then the second image is a blue raspberry slushy being dispensed from a slushy machine. And then the third image is a Master Chief helmet drinking said concoction out of a coffee mug.
Very nice. I like that.
I just figured it was fitting.
For the next question, what do we think about some of the AIs not being in banished colors? Because I actually thought that was a bit strange as well.
That's the third question, but yes, I agree.
Like, the Elite was still in its blue armor.
I think I know why they did it, to kind of give other visual hierarchies. But I would kind of prefer if the Covenant's main color was kind of, like, purple. And, like, everything was kind of a purpley kind of tinge to it, even though you had, like, green and orange and stuff in there. Like, I feel like the Banished that we fight still need to have, like, a primarily red sort of tinge to everything.
I'm wondering if the people that aren't in banished colors are going to be the mercenaries that the toy lines keep mentioning. if you're a mercenary, you're rocking whatever armor you had when the Covenant fell. So you're not a grunt in banished colors, but you're maybe working with a grunt team. I think that would maybe explain it away fairly handy. And it lets them get creative with like old armor and weird different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically fighting Covenant 2.0, but I don't want it to just seem like it's Covenant 2.0 and we're just calling it something else. Like, even though it is kind of a return to form, I would still like to see a more connected and unified Banish faction.
As for the other question was, what did we think of the hexagon shield recharge sort of effect that was going on?
I thought it looked nice. I think your shields recharging does need to be a audio and visual kind of element, so it's easier to get right back into the action when your shields have recharged. So I didn't mind it. I thought it was cool.
I think they can push the boundaries of it a little farther away from the or a little closer to the perimeter of the screen. I felt they were a little too present, if you will. Like, I feel like if picture like us zooming in just a little bit more to where it's essentially just the edges of our screen instead of like a whole hexagon. Maybe we see like half of a hexagon. I'd be okay with. I think it was a little too in your face.
I wonder if that would be a great customizable option. How your shield recharges? That'd be great.
I think they also needed maybe like turn up the transparency a bit there. Like, if you could see through them much easier, I don't think it would bother me that the size they are.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
If there were 50% transparency, that you could still see what was happening in the background, even if they blocked the view out a little bit. Although then it becomes the question of, why don't the hexagons recharge over your faceplate, or is your faceplate not shielded? Because you're just waiting to be like catted then.
Yeah.
One needle shot and that's the end of you.
R.I.P.
We have one more voicemail to go, and fingers crossed this will work or not work, or I'll have to edit them in later. Let's just see. Let's try the madness.
Hey, Podcast Evolve. This is TuroV2 on the Discord. I've got a question for you guys, if you could give me your breakdown of it. With the game being open world, can you see 343 including the Flood? And how do you see 343 tying them in, through the campaign or through an offshoot side mission or mission? If I can get a breakdown of y'all's thoughts, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Turo V2. So, Flood, what do we think? Nate, because everyone else has talked.
I think it's very doable. I don't think they're going to talk about anything unless if they do any of it, it's going to be you smack in the face just like the first game while you're playing it, you know?
I'm hoping they go that way, and the Flood are... I can easily see the Flood being in this. I think to go to Zeta Halo and not do the Flood will be the biggest what-the-fuck moment from an awful lot of lore people.
To announce it before you play would be very, very bad. It'd be a very bad idea.
Could you imagine, like, the Flood coming out at night, and you have limited visibility, and they're just everywhere?
Oh,
dude, it could
goodness.
Literally be ODST and you have like a visor, you have your visor. Oh, dude, I really like that. You're just walking around and they just start swarming and you have to...
That would be awesome co-op.
It could even be like, instead of it being like baked into the campaign all the time, kind of like how it was in previous Halo games, it could just be a random occurrence or an event that just kind of happens, like you get swarmed by Flood out of nowhere.
Krista, the last thing I want in my nightmares is the Flood appearing randomly.
I'm evil.
You
I'm
mean
sorry.
The first thing you want in your nightmares?
I mean, but that's how the Flood would actually work. They would just appear at random and just start swarming you for no reason. Well, for a reason. They want your num-num-nums, but...
Now here's... Alright, so I have my speculation brain going. So again, to kind of compare this to other live multiplayer games, you know, Destiny and stuff, they have like events... when they launch DLCs or like around the holidays. So like, what if they 343 for like, say their first expansion or whatever is like the Flood, like say the Flood's introduced, but then, you know, year two of Infinite or whatever is about like a Flood takeover to where the environment starts getting infected. And then you have these kind of random occurrences coming out. And then there's like a whole Flood like storyline that goes in to kind of bring them back. Like I've,
it could almost be similar to, like, World of Warcraft, like, Cataclysm, where, like, the Flood just show up and fuck up the entire ring.
I kind of like Krista's first idea, where the Flood show up randomly. What if you're just navigating the open world, and then suddenly you're in, like, a, it's been mentioned in the Discord here, Flood firefight? Like, what if you're just roaming the open world, and suddenly it's not the mission you thought it was, just spontaneously? Because I think Destiny do that, where they'll remix a mission so that it's something different.
Yes.
You're going to take out, like the demo, you're going to take out the AA guns, you crash land, you know, Brohammer goes back into the Pelican, you're on your way up the hill, suddenly, bam, the Floods start to spawn out of the ground and jump off the cliffs, and suddenly it's not a banished mission anymore.
I think that would be really cool, like, once they're introduced in the story, you know, to be like a game mechanic. You know, that's the whole reason why I'm so excited about this, that it, you know, it might not look like a single player linear type of pushing the graphics or whatever, but like to have a night and day cycle and all the physics and make it like a real virtual world, you know, that's a big deal. Not to mention the 4-player co-op, you know, and the couch stuff, you know, that all comes at a price, you know, to be honest with you. And I'm excited about it. That's what I want.
No, yeah, those, just kind of thinking on what they can push if they do things like this or other things as it pertains to the banished is something I never thought about before. And so that if they do things like that, that could be very interesting and very different from not only Halo, but just kind of other live service games that are out there.
It would be interesting to see how the dynamic between Chief and his new rival kind of change once the Flood's introduced as well. Escheram, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Escheram. Escheram.
Yeah, I think that's how it's spelled. It's 3 syllables, Escheram.
So how did he get the nickname Brohammer? I know I'm probably the idiot here, but...
Brohammer, yeah, he is the bro version of Foehammer, so Brohammer.
It was in that original trailer with him that people started calling him that, and he's still yet to be named, so that's what we continue to call him.
Yeah, I don't know why they're hiding his name, like...
It is Osman, Saren Osman.
Like, I guess his... I don't know.
What if they hid his name because they're going back and changing his voice lines to call him call sign Brohammer?
That'd be amazing.
No, he's just like some guy. That was something else that they were talking about that I didn't really mention, but like the relationship between Chief and the pilot is like, it was described like, you know, the Chief is this person that does everything, duty, and stops these, you know, intergalactic wars and all that. And the pilot is like just some normal pilot that gets thrusted into this where it's like, we need to like go. But Chief's like, no, we need to fight. It's like, but I want to go home, see my wife.
It could be a really interesting story. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Master Chief's not the guy you want to be stuck in a work shift with, like really. Right, that's all of our voicemails. We have some evolved stuff I think Oren might take us through.
Yeah, I think we got our digest and then we'll kind of just wrap this up, I think. Thanks for listening, everybody. We have our 4 shows. As you know, we are going to return to our Road to Infinite that we kind of pseudo took a break from because of all the Infinite news and release stuff that kind of came out the last week and stuff. So we're going to talk about the Banished for our next episode. And it'll be very interesting. We're going to talk about their origins, talk about how they were developed in Halo Wars 2, what we saw in the Halo Infinite demo, and touch on them. And then we have, you know, we still have about 6 more episodes planned for that miniseries before Infinite releases. So stay tuned. We might give some sneak peeks as to what we're going to talk about during the second half of the year. It'll be things that we think will be relevant and Infinite, or things that are released that we need to know more about to get ready for its release. Mission Debrief, Krista talked about it at the top of the show, you know, about halfway through, almost halfway through Halo Wars 2, and Halo Wars 2 will take us up until the release of Infinite with a break kind of happening, maybe do some retrospectives, some callback episodes during December and stuff. But Mission Debrief will continue on in the new year with Infinite, and more to talk about that as we get closer there. Halo Book Club, our next book club that will be released is Dr. Halsey's Journal,
We have a special guest on that episode as well, and excited to have that guest on, and you get to hear that person's point of views and what they do in the Halo community. So that's going to be very exciting. After Dr. Halsey's journal for August, we're going to do Contact Harvest as kind of a revisit, because we did that way, way back ago. Maybe when Nate was on the show, did you do you remember doing a book clubs and stuff?
A little bit. I don't remember if it was that one or not, but yeah.
It didn't really have the same format that we have currently for Contact Harvest and a few short stories. So we felt that now that we are up to speed on all the novels, that we would go back, redo this one, redo like two or three short stories just to kind of get it into our current format before we tackle the remaining short stories that we need to do and kind of continue on. And we still have our Builds with Blocks. They're doing their thing. I think they have some interviews planned with some... I don't know. I don't want to say too much about it, but they have... We had a meeting and they have some interesting things planned for kind of the coming months in terms of the kind of toy front. Patreon. Sneak peek. We're going to be upping some of the rewards for our Patreon. So if you are currently a patron, you may be seeing additional rewards for the tier that you're in. There'll be some additional rewards for higher tiers, and we're even adding two more tiers above our current Promethean tier.
Ooh.
Nothing really concrete to say right now. Ian and I are going to be discussing that later this week and applying it to the website or to the Patreon. So if you are a patron, take a look and see where you are. And if you're not a patron, all the more reason to see what the new perks are. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yay!
We have reached the end of the show.
Oh my god.
A nice short show.
Yeah, an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, Nate, aren't you glad you took a little break and came back to this?
Yeah, our shows usually don't go this long, Nate.
You're not going to do 3-hour Joe Rogan stuff?
No. If we get paid as much as Joe Rogan, I'd think about it.
There you go.
No, it was all those voicemails. That's what made it so long. Gosh.
Gosh, people want to talk to us? That's weird.
I'm going to hire a grandma and call in.
We've already had that.
You do? Oh, that's so good.
We should, Aaron, can you add the grandma call after we sign off?
If someone can find it in the Google Drive, we'll pull it up, yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
I wonder, did she ever find out if her friend was all right with the weather?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
She didn't know what she was doing at all, and she called us and just like went off on a tangent.
Wait, so this wasn't even like, she didn't even know what number she was calling?
No, she had no idea.
Totally called the wrong number.
That's fantastic.
We get some things like that. Right, I think we will wrap it up for now, and that will do us. Thank you for joining us. Special shout-outs to the Discord. Thank you for spending this time with us. There are quite a few of you. We had almost as good a numbers as the live shows, which I appreciate. I think we all do. Anyone that's willing to sit here for an hour and 40 minutes and listen to us ramble.
That Thursday was a long day.
It was a real long day, yeah. Oren had the longest day.
Some people here have been listening to me ramble on for half an hour before this show started by myself.
Aww.
Some people here are real troopers. Right, you can find every episode of all of our shows on the website, halopodcast.com. It also features links to the mentioned Discord. They do work eventually. We had a little technical issue before the show, but we got there. They also have links to the Facebook group that I'm currently not in, so go mad, I'm not there to watch you. The Patreon and everything else, including our Xbox Live group, which will be very handy for game nights when you're playing Halo Infinite's multiplayer for free, so go do that. And if you want to leave us a voicemail that will be mentioned or played on the next community show, as long as it's safe, we're just warning you. Some people gave us inappropriate voicemails. Drunk voicemails.
Yeah, don't do that. Remember, these voicemails are put on the show, so don't add any personal information on it.
Do they do, like, sex noises and then, like, add their address?
That's
pretty weird, man. I've never seen
one
that.
One person.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It was me. I called.
Yeah, it was the grandma.
Oh, no!
Of course it was a grandma.
The number for the voicemail is 205-EVOLVED. That's 205-386-5833. Please don't leave us sex noises, please. I have to listen to these at some point. To be fair, the Google dictation is pretty good, and it will tell us. We will just look at the voice-to-text translation and go, no, that looks wrong. And we're just not hitting play.
That's just wrong.
All right. I have been your host, Aaron, and until next time, Evolved?
Evolved! Evolved.